Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, there was no last goodbye before her mother passed away, just guilt over a missed visit. Then on her birthday, months later, a message surfaced at exactly the right time.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. If you have a real ghost story, call it in. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can become a premium subscriber. You'll get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Harper's here today.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I have allergies today. I've been having them bad lately.
I've had to have a little cup of tea on hand, herbal tea to make that go away. I don't know. It's not just me. I feel like tea always helps with allergies.
Mm-hmm. That's soothing. Do you like hot tea?
Oh, yeah. I love tea.
See,
all tea.
I only like iced tea. I don't like hot tea. But there's something about it just being very soothing. You know,
yeah.
It's just a very calming. I love tea. I drink tea every single day. Just not hot. Well, and you had something exciting happen this week. You've got accepted into a new school, one that you really, really, really wanted to go to.
I did, and I am so, so excited to go to this new school. I'll be with my stepsister because she goes to the school as well. So, I mean, I am really, really excited.
What is it about that school? Do they offer a different curriculum? Is it bigger? Does it seem like more opportunities for you?
All of the above, to be honest. I mean, there's really a litany of reasons why I want to go, but honestly, for a few of the main being, I can do debate a lot earlier when that's something I've been wanting to do for a while.
You'd
I can do theater.
So good at that.
Too.
You would be so good at theater.
I am so excited. Along with, they have really advanced robotics and engineering classes, and that's something I'm really interested in. That's right, y'all. I'm a nerd.
I love that about you, though.
And so I'm really excited. This is going to be really awesome.
You know, one of these days when you get cast in some production, I will drive there to see you in that show. You know how much I love theater.
I'll let you know when I get cast.
Okay, can't wait for that. Well, let's go to our first story. This is kind of one of those sweet, did you get a message from beyond type of stories?
And you've got mail.
Exactly, exactly. And I like to think that, because I've had a lot of things happen in my life, like that was weird. Was that a message? And you so desperately want it to be when you lose someone. And I'm always like, go with your gut. If that's what it feels like, that's what it is. So this story says, my mom died in 2006. It wasn't completely unexpected. She'd had health issues for years, but it also wasn't something we thought would happen when it did. She'd go in and out of the hospital. She'd bounce back, complain about the food, come home, settle back into her routine, and that was the cycle. That's probably why I wasn't as urgent as I should have been near the end. The last couple years of her life, I helped her out a lot. I'd stop by after work, pick up prescriptions, run to the grocery store. She insisted on writing out her grocery list by hand, even when I told her she could just call me and I would do that for her. Her handwriting leaned slightly to the right and got smaller toward the bottom of the page when she ran out of room. And at almost the end of every list, she'd add something small, not dramatic, just love you, kid, love you more, something like that. The weekend before she passed, I remember being tired. I had worked late all week. I told myself I would go to the next day instead of that evening. She was stable. That's the word everyone used, stable. She passed away the next morning. It was sudden. Her heart gave out. There wasn't a last conversation, no big goodbye. just a phone call and the world rearranging itself without asking permission. Oh, that sentence gets me. The guilt settled in almost immediately and attached itself to that one small decision. I should not have stayed home that night. I should have gone to sit with her. It's amazing how your grief narrows your focus down to one tiny thing and makes it feel enormous. A few days later, before the funeral, I went to her house alone to pick up some clothes and photos. Her bedroom felt weird, like she had just stepped out for a moment. I stood there for a long time not doing anything, and I said out loud, "I'm sorry I didn't come. I should have been there. I love you." Nothing happened. No lights flickered. There was no sign. Nothing changed. Life moved forward in that mechanical way it does. Paperwork, cleaning out closets, sorting through things that felt too personal to touch. I kept some small items, donated others, tried not to think too hard about what I might regret. Months passed, winter came and went. Then it was her birthday, the first one without her. I woke up, aware of the date, for a split second before I was fully awake, I reached out for my phone out of habit like I might call her, and then it hit me. Birthdays had always been so important to her, even her own. She liked small traditions, a special coffee, a slice of cake, a phone call from each of us kids. That morning, the house felt very heavy. I found myself talking to her in my head while I got ready. "I hope you know just how much I loved you," I remember thinking. "I should have said it more." It wasn't dramatic, just quiet thoughts while I got ready. It was colder than I expected that morning, so I grabbed a heavier coat from the back of my closet. I had worn it multiple times that winter. I had worn it to work, the grocery store, even in my grandmother's house after everything happened. I'm certain of that. It wasn't buried or forgotten. It had been in my coat rotation. As I slid my hand into the pocket looking for my keys, my fingers brushed against something thin, paper. I pulled it out, already planning to toss it. It was folded into a small square, and I stood there in my kitchen, unfolded it, and it was one of her grocery lists: milk, bread, coffee, dish soap. I had crossed items off in blue ink when I picked them up. I felt a little pang of seeing it, but that wasn't the strange part, because I'd probably tucked it into my pocket after a store run and forgotten about it. But at the bottom of the note in her handwriting were two words: "Love you." I just stood there holding it. It made sense that it would be there logically. I must have slipped it into my coat pocket months earlier, and I guess I never realized it was there. But I had worn that coat several times since she died, and I had never seen that note. And of all the mornings to finally find it, to unfold it and read those words, it was her birthday. The first one without her. The same morning, I had been standing in my kitchen thinking about how I wish I said I love you one more time. I tried to talk myself down immediately. Maybe it had been tucked into the lining somehow. Maybe I'd missed it before. Maybe I hadn't been paying attention. All of that's possible, but the timing felt very precise. I remember standing in her bedroom, apologizing to the air. I remember saying, "I love you." And now here I was, months later, holding her handwriting in my hands on the one day I missed her most. I felt very unsettled because it forced me to ask a question I don't know how to answer. Was this just grief finding meaning in coincidence? Or had that small square of paper been waiting for the right moment to be noticed? I smoothed out the list, placed it on my kitchen counter. I went to work that day. And that night, on the way home, I bought a small frame. So now it sits on my nightstand. Not necessarily because I think it appeared out of nowhere. It sits there because those were the last written words she ever gave me: "Love you." Most days I lean toward coincidence. I tell myself I must have overlooked it in the pocket. Grief makes timing feel supernatural when it isn't. I don't know what to make of it. I just know on that one morning, I wanted to hear her say it more than anything. I found her handwriting telling me exactly that. Thanks for listening, Ellen.
Wow.
That's a sign from her mother.
That right? Such a sad story. Also, sad, absolutely, that is a sign from her mother. There was no way it's not.
It's a beautiful story.
It really is.
I think it's beautiful because she had worn that coat. And yeah. She didn't see the note. And I could see, you know, maybe you put on your coat and you feel it and just curiosity never made you go, what is this? That could happen.
Yeah.
And I think no matter what day she found it, it would have felt profound. You know, if it had been 2 weeks after her mom died, 2 months after her mom died. But the fact that it was her birthday, those days hit really, really hard. Yeah. After a loved one dies, the birthdays, the holidays, the first everything, the first and second everything, it hits so hard. Mm-hmm. And just that guilt of like, I should have gone the night before. I should have told her one last time I loved her. I never did. You would feel so guilty. Like, I was tired. I didn't go. Like, why didn't I just go? And you get focused on things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that she got that little bit of peace.
I'm really happy that she got that.
Because you need that.
Yeah.
And her mom knew, but you tell yourself those weird things like, you know, I should have told her one more time. Like, your mom doesn't know that you loved her. Your mom knows that, you know, but you tell yourself those things. And after a while, you start believing it. And then you find a note like that. That just, that was a lot. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that was a really beautiful story. Thank you for writing that.
I would have totally framed that myself.
Absolutely.
Like, I would keep it right there where only I see it, like, right there on my nightstand. I'd have done the same thing. It gives us all a little bit of hope that when a loved one passes, that you'll get that little bit of recognition and that little message of how much they loved you. Because yeah. I know I've gotten some signs, but that was really profound. Well, let's go to this call.
This is Ashley. I've called in before with a couple other stories, and I promised I would call back in with another one. So here's a new story. When I was in college, my best friend Tilly and I went over to her aunt's house, which was right near our college, to go play with these foster kittens that she had. And we would go over there, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 times a week and play with these little cute foster kittens. So one time we were over at their house, and I'm going to give you a little geography of the house so you can figure it out in your head, or you can picture it in your head. There was the room that the kittens were in, and just outside that room was a long hallway, and the long hallway ended in a kitchen, and you could see through the kitchen into a little, it wasn't big enough to be a hallway, but another little tiny room area that was connected to the garage. Okay? So Tilly and I were in the kitten room, and we were playing with the kittens, and we heard this woman. We heard a woman's voice talking from the little room next to the garage, so down the hallway through the kitchen by the garage. We heard a woman talking and, like, holding a conversation, and we thought that it was her aunt that had just come home. And we heard talking for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds. I was like, hey, Tilly, it's weird that your aunt hasn't come to say hi to us yet. She's like, yeah, that is. And I said, you know, it's weird that the dogs haven't barked yet, because her aunt had 3 dogs, too. She's like, yeah. So we both leaned out the door to look down the hallway through the kitchen into the little room that's right next to the garage where she would have been coming through. And there wasn't anybody standing there. Like, the voice immediately stopped. There wasn't anybody standing there. The 3 dogs were all sitting on the floor staring in the direction of the garage, but there was nobody there. And we were like, that was weird. And as we said, that was weird, all of the drawers in the kitchen pulled open. Not fast, not violent, not anything like that. They all just slid open. And it was like 6 or 7 drawers in the kitchen that slid open. So that was interesting. Anyway, just wanted to tell you that story. Hope you're all having a good day. Thanks for all the fun stories. Bye.
Okay, I was not ready for that drawer thing.
Me neither.
Like, where the hell did that come from?
Take it, B. It's like, why the drawers, though? Like, out of all of the signs one could give, it's like, hey, I'm here. pulling out all of the drawers at the same time.
That's like a paranormal hold my beer trick. Like, watch this. You know, it's like, I'm doing it because I can. Maybe that's all it is.
You know what? If that is why that happened, absolutely. I would do the same thing, to be honest. Hey, you know, we always hear, like, ghosts and spirits and the paranormal doing all these cool little tricks and stuff. And you know what? When I die, people are going to have nightmares because I'm going to freak them out so much.
Well, it was super creepy because they just went over to play with kittens, something I would do. And they're just playing with kittens. Then they hear the voice. It's like, why didn't your aunt come in here and say hi yet? Obviously, she must know we're in here. And then that, like, that's really strange. And here's the thing. I would want to go back and play with kittens again, but then I would kind of not want to go back and play with kittens again.
You wouldn't want to hang out with the kittens in the haunted house?
Not so much. And I love the fact that there wasn't it a rescue situation, like she's fostering these kittens?
I think so. Like, I always love hearing about that. I like
what a wonderful aunt who lives right in a very haunted house. You know, you'd think the dang ghost could be like, this woman is so awesome for doing this, giving these little cute kittens a chance. Like, let's help her out and let's, like, maybe line up some adoptive families for her instead of opening drawers. Like, can't they do something more productive to help her?
Hey, who wants to be productive when they're dead?
Don't you have the feelings of, like, that's such a nice thing? I want to be part of this kitten rescue thing.
I'd rather creep people out.
Oh, not me. 100%. I would be part of the kitten rescue. I'd be like, oh, I'm so 100% in on this. What do I have to do to help find homes for these kittens? Certainly, I can make some things happen in the afterlife.
Okay, but like, what a great place to haunt. A house with a great woman doing a great thing and kittens? I mean, really, who wouldn't want to haunt that place?
Maybe they're just like, hey, we're here. Boom. Playing with the kittens. I don't know. That's just so strange that they just go over for something as innocent as playing with little rescue kittens. And then that happens. You never know.
It's not something I wouldn't do.
You just never know. When the paranormal strikes, you can be playing with rescue kittens. Who knows? Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, become a premium subscriber if you'd like. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.